that was conducting the camp, he come up to me and apologized that I didn't get to preach that morning. And I told him, I said, I don't know where you was at, but there was a preacher here. He's a lot better than I ever could hope to be. And man, he sure did help us. And I appreciate that in our church this morning. Happy Father's Day. Man, it's one of them days where we beg daddies to come to church and then get them here and tell them how sorry they are. I need somebody to help me. Go, come to Father's Day. Come to Father's Day. It's going to be great at our church. The preacher gets up there. Bless God, you ain't doing this. You ain't doing that. You ain't worth nothing. Now come back next Sunday. And we'll have a message of love from the cross. No thanks. Amen. I need somebody to help me. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter number 15. I'm going to tell y'all, I do not like preaching on holidays. I don't like preaching on Mother's Day, and I know everybody up. You just preach Proverbs 31. Everybody tells me what to preach on those days and everything else. This is what you're supposed to do, all right? I don't know. I don't know if I do anything right, but I'm sure thankful that God lets me do something. Amen. Luke chapter number 15, and we will speak of a father this morning. Matter of fact, Father is mentioned in this passage of Scripture, I believe, 11 times, possibly 12. And anyhow, we're going to look at it. We're going to read the whole Scripture. You probably heard it before, but it does good to read it again. And so we're going to start in verse number 11 of Luke chapter number 15. And if you have a red letter Bible, you'll notice that this entire story is in red. And this is spoken to us by Jesus Christ himself. And so we're going to take a look at it. It's a parable. Matter of fact, let me say this about this passage of Scripture. This is a series of parables. We like to pull one parable out or one. We got, the leaving the 99 to go get the one lost sheep. That's in this chapter. And it's a parable. A parable of the lost coin. The woman that lost her bridal coin, silver, and she looked for it, swept the house, and when she found it, she rejoiced. Well, all three, it's three different parables, three separate parables, but they all are together. We separate them, and I'm going to separate them this morning because we're going to just look at the last one, which was a lost son. If you go through and you go through Scripture, this whole chapter ties together. This is one, it's three different parables, but it's really one parable. All right. But we're going to look at just the end of it, starting in verse number 11 and going down through the end of the chapter. If you're in Luke chapter number 15, say amen. Amen. If you're not, you're probably not going to find it. So look on the screens or look at your neighbors. All right. The Bible says this, and he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Now, I don't know about y'all. I'm just going to say this because while this may be Father's Day, I'm probably going to get on to some youngins. One thing that bothers me about this one right here and this verse right here is they didn't earn any of it. I need somebody to hear me real good. They didn't earn anything, but they had no problem asking for it. Boy, if that ain't today's society, I'm going to move on from that. The Bible says in verse number 13, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Riotous. Everybody got that? And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Now, if we stopped right there, we'd see an entitled son. We'd see a bad father. I'm going to walk over here and say it on this side. We would see an entitled son, and we would see a bad father. Say, but preacher, that ain't no bad father now. We know that father. We know that. But, well, we know the Scripture, and therefore we know what the ending is. But we make assessments and judgments off of dads based off of how their kids act all the time. I need somebody to help me. He got a youngin' out there, a drug addict and everything else. It was his daddy's fault. Y'all help me now. This is the mindset of the world. If something goes wrong and one of the youngins don't do just right, now let me go ahead and help y'all with, let me help you. All of my kids are bad. I'm going to need somebody to help me. But they ain't none of my kids as bad as I was. Thank God. Y'all need to thank God, all right? But all my kids are bad. Dalton's bad. Everybody likes to think Dalton's good. Oh, Dalton's just a sweet little kid. Dalton would never do anything wrong. Dalton's bad. KK, oh, she's just sweet and everything. KK is bad. I almost went to jail over KK. Some little boy got to liking her and showed up at my house at 11:30 at night. I need somebody to help me. It's a bad move, dude. That's a bad move. Everybody all right? Introduce you to Jesus. The youngest one, y'all know about him, so ain't no sense even telling nothing. He's bad. The fact is that you and I have no control over what our kids do. A parent needs to hear me this morning. Talking to somebody recently, and they was telling me how bad of a parent they were because their kid made bad choices. That was their choices. Can I have just for a moment? I need y'all to hear me. That was their choice. You raised that kid, you provided them an environment for them to make a decision. They made it wrong when it's on them. It's not on you. I need a parent to hear me and say amen. Amen. We live in a society where it's blame somebody else. It's always somebody else's fault. And we've taught people that. And it's not. You make the decisions. And you can't blame them all. Well, my daddy was hard on me. Obviously, none of us had a daddy that was hard enough on us. Well, my family life wasn't like somebody else's. What do you know about somebody else's family life? Man, if we stopped right here, it would look like this guy was a bad father. You believe this? His son came to him, asked for money, and then his son goes out there and riotous living. That literally means this. He spent it all on hookers and parties. Y'all okay? It doesn't say that in the scripture. You'd be surprised what it says in the scripture, because the elder son at the end of it, he says, man, you giving him all of this when he spent all your money on harlots. So am I wrong by calling it what it is? This is what the old boy did. And so, if we stop right here, this is a bad father. And this is where everybody would like to stop and say, well, it was the father's fault. He should have never given him the money. He should have taught him better than this. Is everybody all right? I'm going to keep reading. The Bible says this in verse number 15. After the famine, after he'd spent all of his living and spent all the money that his father had given him, the Bible says that there was a famine in the land in verse number 14, and he began to be in want. And so he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Now this, for you and I, it ain't no big deal. Going and feeding bacon, I need somebody to help me right here. Hey, I'm kind of partial to pig, and I didn't realize that until I went to Israel, and you can't get no pig. It's amazing how much I need some, y'all, I'm telling you, bacon, ribs, Boston butt, ham, sausage. But for this guy to be out there feeding swine as a Jew, it was unlawful. Matter of fact, it made him, defiled him. Man, we're over in Israel, and for those of you that are going on a trip with us, when we get over there, they'll tell you, those that raise pigs in Israel, in the Holy Land, they have to do it off the ground. They can't, the pig's feet cannot touch the Holy Land. So when you see something like this man, and in Jesus' day, he's speaking to them in a parable about a Jew, this was a big deal. This kid was completely, not only had he done some stupid things, but now he had completely defiled himself. He had completely defiled himself to the point that he would have to get clean to even go into worship. I'm going to say that over here. He would have had to get clean to go to church. That'll mean something to you in a little bit. Bible says in verse number 16, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. He got so bad off that he was wanting to eat the food that the pigs was eating. And the Bible says that no man gave unto him. And I wish I had time to preach on this, but this is a good point right here. Some of us are enabling our kids to stay in the pig pen. It was because no man gave to him. The Bible gives us the next verse. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. They began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came, he drew nigh to the house, and he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. That was a lie. I need somebody, y'all better wake up this morning. That was a lie. Anytime somebody tells you, I ain't never, they lying. He says, I neither transgressed I any time thy commandment. Yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with all my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. He said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. If we stopped early, we'd say that was a bad father. If we just looked at the choices that were made by the youngest, we'd say, man, he didn't do right by raising them boys. But as we read throughout the scripture, we find out that you and I have a father. If you don't get this, let me help you with it today. It wasn't about this man and his two sons. This was a spiritual lesson about a father that loves you and me. A father that has some youngins that take what he gives them and goes out and lives righteous living, and then sooner or later repent and come back to him, and he receives them into his house. It's about a story of some of those same youngins that feel like that they're entitled, and they sit there and wonder why all this merriment is being made over those that had gone out and done bad things and come back. They don't quite understand why God would love the youngest as much as he loves the oldest when the oldest has stuck around. He's done all the things he was supposed to. He's put on the right clothes. He's said the right thing. He's done the right thing. When the other guys run off and done everything that was bad, how can the father love one the same as he loves the other? I look at this, and I want to give you a message just for a few moments on the father. I want you to look, if you will, number one, I want you to notice the labor of the father. I need some youngins to hear me, and I need some wives to hear me. I need some people to hear me today. Because the labor of the Father, we look at the Father and we think, well, the Father don't love like the mother. My kids and my grandkids know that when they're hurt, they go run to Mama. I need somebody to help me. Mama, she'll take care of them. She'll rub them. She'll rub them on the back and tell them everything's going to be all right. She'll kiss their boo-boo. I was bleeding the other day. I cut my arm. I don't know what I was doing. I didn't even know I did it. It's bad. You're getting old when you get cut and you don't even know you got cut. How many of you are there? I mean, it's bad. I'm running around. Michelle's like, what happened? I'm like, what are you talking about? Blood all over the back of my arm. She said, you got cut. I didn't know I got cut. But Wesley's seen it. She had to kiss my boo-boo. Because that's what, I need somebody. Y'all better help me. I mean, that's what mama does. That's what mama does. But daddy's completely different. This is what daddy does. Well, you deserved it. If you'd have done like I told you to begin with, you never would have got cut. But you don't listen to nobody. I need somebody to help me. If you're going to be dumb, you got to be tough, boy. Mama's over there. Come here, sweetie. It's okay. I love you. I can't believe that bad bush done that to you. Is everybody all right? Man, we got the raw end of the deal. I mean, we have Mother's Day, and man, everybody's all excited about Mother's Day. We have Father's Day, and it's like, oh, it's another day. Mother's Day, I need, y'all help me. I mean, we celebrate and do all that, and Dad ain't nothing. Some mentality. I'm just going to go ahead. I'm going to have some fun preaching. If y'all like it or not, I don't care. I looked at the labor of the Father. He made provisions for them two boys to have what they had. You may not agree with everything Dad done, but Dad has watched out for you. Dad has taken care of you. A good father labors for his children. And I see the labor of this father right here in the story. He took care of his kids. He might not have kissed their little boo-boos, and he might not have been there to just tap them on the back and tell them everything was going to be all right. But he made sure that they had things. His provisions. I notice his protection. I noticed that when homeboy come to, when he come to himself in the pigsty, he didn't say, I'm going to run home to mama. I'm going to go over here on this side. I'm having fun. I should have preached this on Mother's Day. I got this all backwards. I should have done it. I should have preached this on, y'all, somebody remind me, I'll preach this next Mother's Day, all right? He didn't run home to mama. When it got serious and he needed something, who did he turn to? Y'all better help me. I know your wife's sitting by you and you're scared to death of her, but go ahead and say amen right here. He didn't run to mama, he run to the daddy. Amen. See the labor of the Father. His provisions, his protection, his preparation. Bible says the Son asked him for those things that befell him. In other words, his daddy had put some things up for him. Stored up some things to be able to give to him. Is everybody all right? Dad gets a bad rap because he ain't the lovey-dovey type. But I'm going to be honest with you. We need some daddies that'll labor. We need some daddies. I'm going to show you here in a minute the lesson of the Father. And the lesson of the Father was his boys learned how to work. Say, how do you get that? Because when that boy had nothing, he went out there and fed swine. Let me relate it today. When that boy had nothing, he went out there and got him a job. He went out there and went to work. You can say all you want to and call the dad a bad thing, but the fact is that he taught his youngins how to work. And once his youngin run out of money and everything else, he didn't go to the welfare line. He didn't go up there to try to see what he could get from the government. He went out there and went to work for somebody just to try to feed himself and put clothes on his back. I done got all over the lesson of the Father, but I think you understand what I'm saying. We see the labor of the Father. We see the lesson of the Father. We see that in the work ethic of the boy. We see it in the self-evaluation of the boy. I love this part of Scripture. I love it when it says this in verse number 17. And when he came to himself. I need, man. I hope I get this out like I want it. But men, we need to teach our youngins how to look at their life and evaluate it instead of giving them every excuse in the world of why they ain't this or they ain't that. This boy sat in a pigsty and he said, the Bible says he came to himself. He looked at it and said, man, that's far better than this in life. I wonder if he'd have been in our day and time, if he wouldn't have said, well, I wouldn't have lost all that money if this wouldn't have happened or if that wouldn't have happened. Stock market happening. If somebody didn't vote for Biden, I don't know what, I mean, you take it how you want to. But he taught him how to self-evaluate. He taught him how to look at his own life, quit laying the blame on everybody else and say, you know what? This is all on me. I need some mama and daddies to hear me this morning. It's all on me. And the Bible says he came to himself. I'm having fun on Father's Day. Y'all having fun? The lesson of the father, he taught him work ethic. We see that in the Bible. He went to work. Self-evaluation, he came to himself. Humility. He said, I'll go back to my father as a servant. Man, I don't know. Man, we are living in an ungrateful world. I had the responsibility of raising my children up to a point. I'm finna make some of y'all mad. Y'all just go ahead and brace. Some of you got 30-year-old youngins living at the house. Telling you how you gonna spend your money. Telling you where you gonna go eat. Telling you you gonna pay for it. Y'all, I see everybody. You see what y'all don't see? Y'all see it. Y'all see everybody doing this. You right, preacher. Go ahead and tell y'all something. We teach our kids and should teach our kids to be independent. It's a hard thing to do, and I skipped a point, and that was the leaving of the father, but I'll hit it right here. We teach our kids. That's my job, is to teach my kids to be independent. It's not my job to coddle my kids under their 30s. If you got some kid that's living at your house at 30, look at me. Everybody look at me. He ain't a kid no more. Go throw him out. Today. No, I'm just kidding. Father took him back in. I guess we have to. All right. The work ethic, self-evaluation, humility. I put this one in there. He taught him the lesson of the father was in common sense. I've learned in common sense that common sense ain't so common anymore. But the boy had enough sense to know that the life that he was living, there was something better for him. And so we see the lesson of the Father, which leads me to where I want to get, and that's the love of the Father. We see the labor of the Father. He wasn't there to kiss all the boo-boos and to pat on the back and be the lovey-dovey type and everything else. And I need somebody to know this. It's okay for a man to be a man. It's okay for those type of things. I know that some of you has been taught different, but it's all right to be a man. It's all right to go to work and work 8, 10, 12 hours, whatever you work, and come home and not be the lovey-dovey. We've taught people that's a bad father. And yet that father's showing just as much love. His labor, his lesson. But I want you to notice his love. This was something that I haven't been able to get off my mind. This prodigal. When he'd wasted all the money his father had given to him. Somebody needs to hear this. It'd be real difficult to walk back to the house, knowing that you squandered away everything that dad gave you. But yet in the scripture, the only thing that he missed was daddy. The only thing he missed was the father. There's nowhere in there that he says, man, I got to get back to the house. to the barns, to the fishing hole, to the church. What that boy wanted was to be back with the Father. I will rise and go to my Father. I'll rise and I'll go to my Father. And I will talk to my Father and I'll tell him, against thee and heaven have I sinned. He missed the Father. The Father, in his labor and in his lessons, he had shown that boy his love. And the only thing that that boy wanted when everything in his life was gone was a father. I got to quit. I don't want to, but I got to. All he wanted was a father. There's going to come a time, and everybody in this building, and some of you it's already passed, but there's going to come a time in your life where all you want is that father. Stay with me. Say, preacher, I want my mother too. No, there's going to come a time, I agree with that. I ain't saying nothing against your mama. I'm saying there's going to come a time where you're going to wish that you could speak to your daddy again. Oh. There's going to come a time while everybody else is celebrating Father's Day and sitting around a table and eating food with their father, you're going to be sitting out in a graveyard looking at a gravestone, wishing that you would have said the things that you didn't get to say or that you didn't say today. Man, I seen a picture this morning that one of my family members posted. And anyhow, it was a picture of a man sitting on a bench looking at a gravestone. I thought to myself, we was talking about it yesterday, and my dad may be watching. I was talking about it with my brother-in-law yesterday, and we don't know how much longer you and I have. My dad's over 70 years old. His dad's over 80 years old, and we're sitting there going, he said, man, I don't want to go. I got to go do the dad thing tonight. I got to go over there, and we're going to have dinner and this, that, and the other. And I told him, I said, Jeff is my brother-in-law. I said, Jeff, you might not get to share another Father's Day with your daddy. You might not get another chance to come home to daddy. You might not get another chance to talk to daddy. You might not get that opportunity. I'm not telling you, I'm not sitting here, I'm not preaching to y'all about how bad you are. I'm telling you right now, hey, I don't care how bad your daddy is. I don't care how many bad decisions he's made. I don't care how much you didn't like growing up in the house. There's coming a day in your life where you're going to wish you could say, Dad, I love you. You're going to wish, like this prodigal, that you could go home. See dad again. The scripture said that dad, he let him go and he let him go into his life and he let him do whatever he wanted to. It was his choices, his decisions. Now daddy needs to listen to me real good. But when he seen the son, the Bible says he was watching for the son. The Bible tells us that he was looking for the son, even though the son had done him wrong, spent all of his money, had wasted all of his money and wasted his living. He was looking for that boy to come home. When he seen his son, the Bible says he ran and fell on his neck. He didn't wait for the boy to come over there, grovel at his feet and tell him how bad of a son he was. The Bible says he ran out and he fell on his neck. He kissed him. The old boy said, Dad, I'm sorry for aught. And he said, hush, go get a robe. Get the best robe, not just any robe. Get the best robe. Dad, I'll be a servant. No, son, you're going to be a son. Put a ring on his finger. This is not a servant. This is a member of the family. This is my son. Put a ring on his finger. Say, put shoes on his feet. What is significant about that? Only the slaves didn't have no shoes, but the son did. Put shoes on his feet. Kill the fatted calf. Let's make merry. We're going to have a party. That's what the father said. I know it wasn't perfect. I know he didn't do everything just right. But I sure am glad that I get to talk to my son. One more man I need. Y'all better hear me. We're living in a day and time where it's everybody else's fault. And we got mamas and daddies and fathers and sons that won't even speak to one another. You may not get to talk to your daddy again. You may not get to talk to your youngin again. Preacher, you don't know what my kid did. I don't care what your kid did. I'd rather talk to my youngin than sit there and talk to a coffin. I'm going to go over here and say it on this side. He ain't made all the best decisions. She might not have made all the best decisions, but I'd rather talk to my child than I had talked to a coffin. I've seen it. I've watched it. I've watched kids try to tell their daddy what they didn't tell him while he was alive. I've watched them as they close up the coffin say, I love you, daddy. It's too late. I watched them as they put him in the back of a car say, I'm going to miss you. It's too late. I've watched them as they said, I sure am thankful for everything you taught me. It's too late. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying today, go back to the Father. I'm saying, dads, today, embrace your youngins. God's shown us the love. Dalton, go to the pen. God's shown us the love of a father. I can't say I was a good father, Brother Edward. I can't say that I did everything right. I'm not going to sit up here and sugarcoat it. I don't expect my youngins to. I made mistakes along the way. And if they got real honest, my kids could tell you they made mistakes along the way. But this morning I'm trying to appeal to you. How are you going to react? How are you going to respond to it? As a son, you need to turn back to the Father. As a father, you need to embrace the son, daughter, whatever. We need to, listen, catch the spiritual application of this. Because as much as you and I would like to think that we're the father, everybody look up here. We're the youngest son. The one that's gone out and wasted all that God's given us. The one that's gone out to harlot living, saying, man, I ain't never been with no harlot before. Do you know anything takes us away from God? The Bible refers to it as adultery. And I need somebody to help me right here. I'm guilty. Times of my life, I've let things get me away from God, take me away from the Father. But this morning, I want you to know something. I don't care who you are in this building. I don't care how bad you've been. I don't care how many bad choices you made. The Father's. Hey. Hey, everybody else having a good time, dads. Boy, I sure would. I hope today's the day. I don't care how ugly it's been. Even the brethren saying, oh man, I can't believe they did that. But dad's sitting there at the window. Boy, I sure hope today's the day I'll see him walk down that driveway. Because I sure want to talk to my son instead of a coffin. I'd like to have one more opportunity to get right with my youngin. This morning, don't care who you are. Don't care how bad you've been. God's waiting for you. Greatest father, best father, best example of a father. He's looking. And I believe that if you'll come to yourself, go back to the Father, He'll meet you before you ever get, He'll meet you before you ever get down to the altar. And He'll shower you with blessings. You mean He ain't going to take everything from me? Go get the best robe. Go get the ring. Go get the shoes. Kill the fatted calf. My son, whom was dead, is alive again. I need somebody. This is what I want you to do. If you're honored enough to have your father in this building, I want you to go get him. I want you to bring him to the altar. I want you to go get him. I want you to bring him to the altar. I want you to be thankful. That man's labored over you. He's taught you some lessons. He's loved you. I know we like to give mom the glory and praise God. I'm thankful for a good mama, but I am thankful for a daddy that loved me. I'm thankful for a daddy that took care of me. He didn't know how to show me affection like my mama did or like somebody else may have been able to do, but I'm thankful for a daddy that put food on the table, put clothes on my back, taught me some things about life that have made me the man that I am today. I'm thankful for it, Daddy, and I don't want to stand at a graveside not saying what I wanted to say or what I could have said. Today, if your daddy ain't here with you, I want you to call him. Say, preacher, my dad's gone. I want you to thank God that you had a daddy. I want you to thank God that somebody stood in the place of a father for you. Say, preacher, my dad was bad. You don't know how bad my dad was. He beat me. But somebody was a father to you. I'm fortunate enough, my dad got two of them. Got a stepfather that's provided for me, took care of me, loved me. Maybe your last Father's Day. Maybe your last opportunity to say what you need to say to your daddy. Heads bowed and eyes closed with me, if you will, for just a moment. Maybe your testimony this morning is you've gone from the Father. I'm not going to ask you to move out of your seat. I want you to do business with God right there in your seat. I want you to come back. I want you to come back. I want you to hear me this morning. God will take you back. I want you to hear me this morning. God loves you and He's looking for you. If you'll make the move, He'll come running to you. He'll find you. Father wasn't interested in punishing a child. That father was interested in loving that child. And this parable shows us the love of God our Father. He ain't interested in beating you. He ain't interested in punishing you. He's interested in loving you this morning. If you'll come home, He'll do just that. Like somebody in this building says, preacher, I don't have a father. I want you to know this, there's a heavenly Father. There's one that loves you. He loves you so much that He sent His darling Son. Bible's very clear, His only begotten Son, to die on a cross for you, blood shed for you, so that you could live with Him. He made a way for you to come home, spend eternity with Him. This morning, if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, I want to help you out. Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's Romans 3:23. It lets us know that not just some of us, but all of us have sinned. Bible tells us in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible tells us that we're all sinners, but then the Bible tells us there is a payment for that sin. According to the Bible, the wages of sin is death. And I'm thankful the verse doesn't stop there. It says, but the gift of God, greatest gift is ever given, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I love this verse. It's Romans 5:8. It says, but God commendeth His love towards us. Means He proved it. He demonstrated it. And that while we were yet sinners. Woo. Well, that means I ain't got to get all cleaned up. While I was a sinner, God commendeth His love towards us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So this morning, if you understand that you're a sinner. You understand there's a payment for your sin. If you understand that Jesus came and died for your sin. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth, or with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. This morning, if you understand you're a sinner, you understand there's a penalty for that. If you understand that a Savior was sent and died for you, you believe that Jesus came and died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. And according to the Bible, you can be saved. Maybe you'd pray a prayer with me while they're getting ready for baptism. Pray something. My prayer won't save you. I found out a long time ago that if we're not careful, prayer can just be words. Bible says if we confess the Lord Jesus with our mouths and believe with our hearts, it's a heart issue. But if you're ready to do business with God this morning, I wonder if you'd pray a prayer. You want to get saved, it's time. Something similar to this, Lord, I am a sinner. You pray, Lord, I cannot save myself. This morning, I come to you, Lord, ask you to be my Savior. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me. Lord, I repent. Turn from my sin to follow you. Lord, I ask you to come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name. If you prayed a prayer similar to that this morning with me, I want you to do me a favor. Nobody's looking around. I wonder if you'd just lift your hand up. Preacher, I prayed a prayer. Preacher, I asked Jesus to save me this morning. Is there anybody in the building to do that? Anybody? Is there anybody here? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. Lord, I love you. Lord, I'm thankful that you love me. I'm thankful for a Father down here on earth. But God, I'm even more thankful for a Heavenly Father that loves me. When I've not done everything right, I ain't been everything I need to be or should be. Love me. Look for me. Ran to me. God, I pray this morning, Lord, we'd appreciate our fathers today. Make an effort, Lord, to let them know how much